to us in America. The reflections of Armistice Day will be filled with solemn pride in the heroism of those who died in the country's service and with gratitude for the victory, both because of the thing from which it has freed us and because of the opportunity it has given America to show her sympathy with peace and justice in the councils of the nations. Those were the words of President Wilson in 1919, 1 year after hostilities ended in World War I, on this date in 1918, in the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. Back then it was called Armistice Day. Today we call it Veterans Day. And for all veterans, thank you. Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average down 55 at 17,702, S&P 500 down 6 at 2,075, NASDAQ down 16 at 5,067. Yield on the 10-year Treasury last traded at 2.34%. Bond markets were closed today. Oil down $1.14 at $43.07 per barrel. Gold down $3 at $1,087.20 per ounce. Silver down 9 cents at $14.45. The 11th day of November is celebrated in China as Singles Day, symbolized by the four lonely ones of 11-11. Apparently, this is some kind of anti-Valentine's Day. Alibaba broke its own record for sales on China's Singles Day, the world's largest internet shopping event, generating more than $9.3 billion in gross merchandise volume by midday. That broke the record. Sales now look on track to hit about $13 billion. More records in the first 8 minutes of this year's sale. The company posted more than $1 billion in sales, topping last year's 17 minutes to hit the billion-dollar mark. AB InBev has completed an agreement to buy SAB Miller for $105 billion, one of the largest mergers in corporate history. Under terms of the deal, SAB Miller will sell a 58% stake in its Miller Coors joint venture to partner Molson Coors for $12 billion. The combined AB InBev SAB Miller would have controlled close to 70% of the U.S. beer market, so the sale of the U.S. division was seen as a concession to competition authorities. In other brewing news, shares of Carlsberg AS rose as much as 8.7% after the beer maker announced a cost-cutting plan, which will see it shed about 2,000 employees. Iraqi oil puts pressure on shale. 19 million barrels of oil are due to arrive by ship from Iraq in American ports this month, the biggest influx from that country since June 2012, as OPEC members continue to defend market share even in the face of low oil prices. The tactic seems to be working, as yesterday the Energy Information Administration cut its U.S. crude oil production forecast for 2016 by 1% to 8.7 million barrels a day. The American Petroleum Institute said inventories rose by 6.3 million barrels last week. This all adds to concerns about oversupply. Crude oil fell to the lowest level in nearly 3 months. Britain's relationship with the EU is working, but the Bank of England governor, Mark Carney, says they'll do whatever is needed to adapt should Britons vote to leave the bloc in a referendum. Britain is due to vote to stay in the EU or go before the end of 2017. The announcement came as UK unemployment fell to the lowest level in more than 7 years, dropping to 5.3% in the third quarter. Also today, ECB Chief Mario Draghi delivering a speech to the Bank of England's Open Forum. Online orders for Apple's iPad Pro started today. The 12.9-inch screen tablet, aimed in large part at business users and creative pros, will start at $799 but cost more than $1,000 if buyers want a keyboard and stylus included. Yesterday, Apple shares fell over 3% after a Credit Suisse report said Apple had cut its orders for iPhone 6 components by as much as 10%. Meanwhile, Apple is in talks with banks in the U.S. about creating its own mobile-to-mobile payments service that sounds a lot like PayPal's Venmo app. The app would reportedly let people send payments to each other directly from their phones and automatically take it out of their checking accounts on the back end. While Apple already has its own payments system, thanks to Apple Phone, the service so far has been mobile-to-merchant, and the mobile-to-mobile space has largely been dominated by PayPal's Venmo app, but there is competition from Facebook's Messenger app, also Snapchat and Square. Macy's shares plunged by as much as 14% as the department store chain said its sales growth was weak because of muted customer demand. Macy's also lowered its guidance for 2015 earnings per share. Sales fell 5% to $5.87 billion, below the expectation for $6.1 billion. Bad news for Macy's could be great news for customers. The company's revenues have plunged, which means year-end sales are likely to be fantastic. The New York State Attorney General has ordered the fantasy sports sites DraftKings and FanDuel to stop accepting bets in New York, saying that the operations were essentially illegal gambling. The AG said the fantasy sites were considered gambling because customers are clearly placing bets on events outside of their control or influence, specifically on the real game performance of professional athletes. State of Nevada took a similar action in mid-October, with the Nevada Gaming Control Board saying the companies had to cease operations in that state. DraftKings and FanDuel have indicated they would continue to let customers play while they contest the order in New York. Four smaller daily fantasy sports sites, Daily MVP, Draft Day, Draft Ops, and Mondo Goal Trading, say they will stop letting users from New York enter their paid contest. Nomura lowered its price target on Valeant Pharmaceuticals to $175 per share from $220. Nomura had been one of the most bullish analysts on the company. The analyst for Nomura wrote, "Valeant's business update call did not address all our outstanding questions. However, management's willingness to be as open as possible in its responses was a positive first step towards rebuilding credibility with investors." Here's a big problem, though. Share price has dropped from $263 to $78.90. And they have a target of $175? Every now and then, it's a good idea for Wall Street analysts to open their eyes before issuing a forecast. Valeant's biggest investor is Bill Ackman of Pershing Square. He doubled down when the bad news on Valeant first hit. After Citron Research, a short-selling firm led by Andrew Left, issued a report about 2 weeks ago asking if the company was running an Enron-like fraud. The stock had already been under pressure after the company was scrutinized for raising the prices for two acquired drugs. The Citron report, though, focused on Valeant's relationship with Philidor, a specialty pharmacy. Citron has accused Valeant of using Philidor to book phantom sales. Valeant is the largest holding in Pershing Square. That's Bill Ackman's hedge fund. That hedge fund is now down about 19% for the year. And the hits keep coming. A U.S. judge said Valeant Pharmaceuticals and hedge fund manager Bill Ackman must face a lawsuit accusing them of insider trading in Allergan, before making an unsuccessful takeover bid for the maker of Botox. The lawsuit was filed on behalf of investors who sold Allergan shares in the 2 months before the defendants on April 22, 2014, announced an unsolicited $51 billion bid for Allergan. Pershing had by then quietly amassed a 9.7% stake in Allergan, which soared in value after the bid was announced. Investors said Pershing bought those shares knowing that Valeant was preparing a bid that could, and later did, become hostile. Well, who knows? Maybe Valeant is an extraordinary bargain at current prices, but I'm guessing it'll take years of therapy before anybody is able to laugh at this. The U.S. Department of Transportation has denied an appeal by railroads challenging new crude-by-rail regulations on trains hauling hazardous flammable materials. The rules issued in May include the phasing in of tougher tank car standards over several years and require new expensive braking systems on trains hauling more than 70 cars of crude oil by 2021. General Electric stock did something yesterday it hasn't done in 7 years, closed above $30 a share. In the years since June 10, 2008, GE's stock has struggled despite CEO Jeff Immelt's efforts to reassure investors that the company was changing. The mood seems to have shifted over the past year, though, as the company offloaded its finance business and completed its biggest acquisition of all time with the purchase of Alstom's energy business. On November 11, 1915, exactly 3 years before the end of World War I, IBM listed for the first time on the New York Stock Exchange, its name back then Computing Tabulating Recording Company. IBM isn't making a big deal of today's 100th anniversary, which comes at an inauspicious time. The stock is the second biggest drag on the Dow Jones Industrial Average this year. But for really, really, really long-term investors, consider this. If you had purchased one share of IBM when it was first listed on the New York Stock Exchange at $47, you would now own 11,879 shares with a value of $1.6 million. That's a 3.4 million% return. We invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. The daily blog is eatthebankers.com. That's eatthebankers.com. Hey, and be sure and meet us out at Financial Fest this Saturday, JW Marriott at Desert Ridge, the Financial Review All-Stars at 2 o'clock on the main stage. See you there.